Diary, San Francisco, California, December 23, 1900. December 23, 1900, San Francisco, Cal. Some work has been done in the large city of San Francisco, but only a beginning has been made. As soon as possible, well-organized efforts should be put forth in different sections of this city and also in Oakland. The wickedness of San Francisco is not realized. Our work in this city must broaden and deepen. God sees in it many souls to be saved. In San Francisco, a hygienic restaurant has been opened. Other restaurants similar to this should be opened in San Francisco and in Oakland. Concerning the effort that is now being made in this line, we can say, Amen and Amen. And as soon as possible, we should establish other lines of work that will be a blessing to the city. Medical missionary evangelistic work should be carried on in a most prudent and thorough manner. The solemn, sacred work of saving souls is to advance in a way that is modest and yet ever elevated. Where are the working forces? There are precious souls to be won. Thoroughly converted men and women of discernment and keen foresight should act as directors of this work. To do this special work, they should exercise good judgment in employing persons who love God and who walk in all humility of mind. Persons who will be effective agencies through whom God can achieve the object in view. Medical missionary evangelists are able to do pioneer work. The work of the minister will blend fully with that of the medical missionary evangelist. Christian physicians are not to regard their missionary work as inferior to that of the ministry. A consecrated physician bears a double responsibility, for in him are combined the qualifications of the physician with those of the gospel minister. His is a grand, a sacred, and a very necessary work. Physicians whose professional abilities are above those of the common worker should be engaged in the service of God in large cities. They should seek to reach the higher classes. In a portion of San Francisco, something in this direction is being done, but much more should be done. Let there be no misconception of the nature of this work. San Francisco forms a very large portion of the Lord's vineyard. Medical missionaries who labor in evangelistic lines are doing a work of as high an order as are their ministerial fellow laborers. This kind of medical work combined with ministerial work is not to be limited to the poorer classes. The higher classes have been strangely passed by. In the higher walks of life will be found many who will respond to the truth because it is consistent, bearing the stamp of the high character of the gospel. Not a few men of ability will enter energetically into the work. Using their God-given talents, they will be producers as well as consumers. The faithful physician and the minister are engaged in the same work. They should work in complete harmony. They are to counsel together. By their unity, they will bear witness that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world to save all who will believe in Him as their personal Savior. We are to do special work for those who are in high positions of trust. The Lord calls upon those to whom He has entrusted His goods to use in His service their talent of intellect and of means. Some will be impressed by the Holy Spirit to invest the Lord's means in a way that will advance His work. They will fulfill His purpose by helping to create centers of influence in our large cities. Our workers should represent before these men a plain statement of our needs. Let them know what we need in order to help the poor and needy and to establish the work on a firm basis. Shall we not do all in our power to establish the work in the great cities of San Francisco and Oakland, and in all the other cities of California? Thousands upon thousands who live in the cities close by us need help in various ways. Let the ministers of the gospel realize that the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Matthew 5, verse 14-13. In our cities, interested workers will take hold of various lines of missionary effort. Hygienic restaurants will be established. But with what carefulness should this work be done? Those working in these restaurants should be constantly experimenting, that they may learn how to prepare palatable, healthful foods. Every hygienic restaurant should be a school for the workers connected with it. In the cities, this line of work may be done on a much larger scale than in smaller places. But in every place where there is a church and a church school, instruction should be given in regard to the preparation of simple health foods for the use of those who wish to live in accordance with the principles of health reform. And in all our missionary fields, a similar work can be done. The students in our schools are to be taught how to cook. Let tact and skill be brought into this branch of education. With all conceivableness of unrighteousness, Satan is working to turn the youth into paths of temptation that lead to ruin. To guard and help them by strengthening them to withstand the temptations that are to be met on every side is doing the Master's missionary work. Workers should exercise their ingenuity in this line. None are to pry into Dr. Kellogg's secrets. Yet I have been shown that the Lord is teaching many minds in many localities how to make healthful foods. If properly combined and prepared, many products can be made into wholesome foods, which will be a blessing to those who cannot purchase the health foods. He who in the building of the tabernacle gave skill and understanding in all manner of cunning work will now give skill and understanding in the combining of natural food products, thus showing his people how to secure a wholesome, healthful diet. No one is to strive to become a great manufacturer of health foods or to establish a monopoly in this business. Let no one seek to control the food business. Let everyone do his God-appointed work in combining natural products to make healthful foods. The work of combining fruits, seeds, grains, and roots into wholesome foods is the Lord's work. In every place where a church has been established, let the church members walk humbly before God. Let them seek to enlighten the people with health reform principles. Cooking schools are to be established. This work may begin in a humble way, but as intelligent cooks do their best to enlighten others, the Lord will give them skill and understanding. The word of the Lord is, "Forbid them not, for I will reveal myself as their instructor." He will work with those who carry out his plans, teaching the people how to bring about a reformation in their diet by the preparation of healthful, inexpensive foods. Thus, the poor will be encouraged to adopt the principles of health reform. They will become industrious. I saw that there were several young men and young women, and also those of more mature age, men and women of capability, who were being taught of God how to prepare wholesome, palatable foods in an acceptable manner. I was instructed to encourage the establishment of cooking schools in all places where medical missionary work is done. Every inducement to lead the people to reform must be held out before them. Let as much light as possible shine in clear rays upon them. Teach them to make every improvement that they can in the preparation of food, that they may teach others. In the 16th chapter of Mark, we read, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Verses 19-20. Here we are assured that the Lord was qualifying His chosen servants to take up medical missionary work after His ascension. The Lord Jesus will work miracles for His people. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Luke 5, verse 1 to 10. During the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, at which Christ was present, it was discovered that from some cause the supply of wine had failed. This caused much perplexity and regret. It was unusual to dispense with wine on festive occasions, and its absence would seem to indicate a want of hospitality. As a relative of the parties, Mary had assisted in the arrangements for the feast, and she now spoke to Jesus, saying, They have no wine. These words were a suggestion that he might supply their need. But Jesus answered, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. John 2, verse 3-4. But the response of Christ did not discourage his mother. At the right moment he would act his part. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Verses 5-8. When the time had fully come, the miracle wrought by Christ was recognized. As soon as the ruler of the feast put the goblet to his lips and tasted the wine, he looked up with glad surprise. The wine was superior to any he had ever before drank, and it was unfermented wine. He said to the bridegroom, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 10. Christ did not approach the jars or touch the water. He simply looked upon the water, and it became the pure juice of the grape, clarified and refined. What effect did this miracle have? His disciples believed on him. Verse 11. The faith of the humble fishermen was confirmed. They believed that Christ was laying the foundation of his kingdom. By this miracle, Christ also gave evidence of his mercy and compassion. He showed that he had regard for the necessities of those who followed him to hear his words of knowledge and wisdom. Christ's miracle of changing the water into wine and presenting to the people the beverage created by his power was on that occasion a means of bringing the divine into connection with the human. This miracle opened doors for him in many places. From this miracle, we may learn a lesson of the highest importance. The food business is one of the Lord's own instrumentalities to supply a necessity. The heavenly provider of all foods will not leave his people in ignorance in regard to the preparation of the best foods for all times and occasions.